Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Resilient Leaders Podcast, where resilience in leadership is not simply a good idea, it's required. I'm J.R. Briggs, founder of Kairos Partnerships, an organization that helps leaders like you who are facing unique leadership challenges and equipping you to help you lead with clarity, confidence, and consistency. Well, as a leadership coach, I have the privilege of working with leaders from many different industries, backgrounds, and experiences. And these individuals share deeply and honestly with me about their inner world. I began to notice that cynicism was taking root in the lives of many leaders, but I started to look around the culture and notice that not only was cynicism not being penalized, but cynical people were actually being applauded. In fact, it's big on social media. But there was one leader who for years had battled cynicism in his own life. And there was a 2-year stretch where he fought certain internal soundtracks daily that were very cynical, like nobody will change and what you're doing won't make a difference and you're wasting your time because ultimately it doesn't matter. And nobody knew this leader was struggling. In fact, externally, everything seemed fine, but no one knew the truth and that this leader was weighed down by a cynical spirit and it was suffocating him. And that leader was me. I knew I needed to pay attention to this because if not, I realized that cynicism could overtake me and I would be a cynical leader, and no one wants to be around cynical leaders. So what is cynicism? Cynicism is when we mistrust or distrust the intentions of other people. And it's the belief that everyone else is in it for their own self-interest. There's always an ulterior motive, and therefore no one can be trusted. A cynical person says, I know best. I am knowledgeable enough to know what's really going on, and you don't. It's a deadly mixture of pride, disappointment, apathy, and anger. And it is a response, an unhealthy response to disappointed expectations. The late comedian George Carlin quipped, "Inside every cynical person is a disappointed idealist." It's the sense that this is how it's going to be from now on. And what makes cynicism dangerous is that it doesn't pounce or whack you over the head or kill you immediately. Instead, it slowly creeps on you. It's like kudzu. It's like a leaky roof. If we ignore it, it will only get worse. Maybe the most vivid illustration I can think of, it's like a boa constrictor that just squeezes around you and every exhale just squeezes down until it suffocates the life out of you. Cynicism may not destroy you in a few hours or a few days, but if it goes unaddressed, it will wreck your life and leadership because it kills joy, erodes hope, and robs us of the privilege of giving others the benefit of the doubt. To be cynical is a choice for us to be distant and condescending. Some equate cynicism with skepticism, but they are different. Skepticism says, I'm not so sure. There's an uncertainty, but also an open-mindedness. Whereas cynicism assumes a posture of closed-mindedness. It says, I'm sure. And it hardens and distances us and attempts to elevate ourselves above others. Now, the background of cynicism is absolutely fascinating. There was a school of cynicism that actually began in Greece in the 4th century BC, a philosophical school started by a student of Aristotle. And this school of philosophy explored important questions about human nature and customs and shame. In fact, cynics believed that the highest form of wisdom was to live according to nature and not by man-made customs or laws or social constructs. The idea of self-sufficiency and shamelessness were key virtues. The goal was to shock others by questioning the unspoken societal rules that existed, and adherents lived radically ascetic lives. They often lived in the streets and engaged in all sorts of crazy behaviors. In fact, the word cynic means dog-like in Greek, and it's a nod to the animal's scrappiness and lack of inhibition. The most famous cynic was Diogenes, and he was one eccentric dude. Plato once referred to him as Socrates gone mad. He found a large clay water jar, and he lived in it, his house, for the rest of his life. He would do crazy things like urinate on people he didn't like and defecate in public, sometimes outside, sometimes inside of theaters, trying to communicate the triviality of most everyday activities. In fact, he was nicknamed Diogenes the Dog, and he actually considered it a compliment. Now, there are countless Diogeneses today, right? They may not live in clay pots, but they're there. And if I can be direct for a moment, aren't today's cynics those who think they have it right when everyone else has it wrong? Those who metaphorically urinate and defecate on others and their ideas by assuming the worst in them? And aren't cynics brutishly dog-like in their mentality and their behavior? You see, cynicism impacts us as leaders, and we need to pay attention to this. My simple definition of leadership is this: a leader is one who builds trust, bears pain, and brings hope. When we are cynical, we can't do any of those things. Cynical people often erode trust. They bring more pain, and they don't bring any hope. Yes, cynicism is everywhere in our culture, the spirit of our age. It is the cultural air that we breathe. But we have to lead people toward hope. It's the most countercultural thing we can do as leaders, especially those of us who are leaders of faith. The best leaders I know find the healthy balance between reality and hope. Which gets to this next thought: what practices can help us guard against cynicism? Because we have to work hard as leaders to fight against the spirit of cynicism. First, it's so normalized that we have to start by noticing it in our culture and in ourselves, and we need to invite others in to notice it as well. It's important to remind ourselves that sarcasm, which is a sneaky sister to cynicism, is not a fruit of the spirit that we read about in the New Testament. There are two concepts that Jesus taught that must be held in tension. The first one is where Jesus said to be as innocent as doves and as wise as snakes. We need to double major in doves and snakes. The second thing is to be childlike, but not childish. We need to grow up, right? We don't need to be childish, but I've never met a little child who was cynical. Have you? We need to learn to be childlike, but not childish. Here are some creative practices, and here are a few that I've tried out and found helpful. Maybe they'll be helpful for you as well. And the first one is just noticing my cynical remarks and my sarcastic comments and naming them, because naming things has a way of taming things. But I also need to invite other trusted friends to call out my cynicism and to pray for me in this particular area. I also keep a daily gratitude journal where I write first thing in the morning with my cup of coffee in hand. I write out, as I've talked on this podcast before, 5 things I'm grateful for, because gratitude and cynicism have a very difficult time coexisting. You can also engage in the spiritual practice of giving people the benefit of the doubt. I read someone who ran his company. I read about someone who ran his company with the principle, always give the charitable assumption. I love that. Always give the charitable assumption. The other practice is watch children, play with children, sit down on the floor, get on all fours, and play Legos with kids. It's amazing what we can learn from kids if we're open to that possibility. And also, lastly, purposefully surrounding myself and yourself with tender-hearted, hope-filled, joy-saturated people. While cynics are fault finders, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 that love always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We need to surround ourselves, because you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And if we can purposefully surround ourselves with tender-hearted, joy-saturated people who are not cynical, that will rub off on us. In a world saturated by cynicism, the most revolutionary thing we can do is to embrace and articulate hope. Leaders, let's not succumb to becoming cynical people, because cynical people are bad and cynical leaders are even worse. Let's have a soft and tender-hearted posture in how we lead and serve others. Well, thanks for listening. This podcast would not happen without my friend, the gifted Joel Limbowen at On a Limb Productions. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, or you need a video created and produced for your company, organization, or church, Joel does great work. We use him all the time. Check out the link to his website in the show notes. Leaders, be faithful, available, teachable, and hungry. Keep leaning in and learning. And remember that while cynicism may be the spirit of our age, we don't have to succumb to it. The most revolutionary thing you can do is to embrace and articulate hope when everyone else has chosen cynicism. Have a great day.